Well, it seems that the summer is going away, and around this time of the day, it's already dark. Strange. But I'm very grateful that you are staying behind. We will continue study about the prophets of God today. 2 weeks ago, we studied about the meaning of prophecy in the Bible, so we were able to go through all those references that have the word prophecy in them, and we realized that through those references and word studies, we realize that the word prophecy does not necessarily refer to future predictions. Probably there are a couple of points we need to consider before we go into today's passage in order to study more about the prophets of God. Future predictions could be made in the Old Testament even without using the word prophecy. Therefore, even though I said that the word prophecy does not necessarily refer to the future predictions, do not ever have an idea that there are no predictions in the scriptures. That is not what I was trying to say. Through the word study alone, we do not remove all the possibilities of future predictions from the Old Testament. And it has been well testified in the scriptures. There are future predictions in the Old Testament, in fact. For example, there are a lot of messianic prophecies. And in Old Testament times, messianic prophecies were given, and we have been able to see the fulfillments of those messianic prophecies in the New Testament. At the same time, we do also recognize that there are prophecies that have not been fulfilled yet, and those things related to the second coming of Christ Jesus or the establishment of the eternal kingdom in eternity and so on. So there are future aspects in the scriptures. At the same time, we ought to know and realize that most parts of the prophetic books in the Old Testament, such as major prophetic books and minor prophetic books, major parts of these prophetic books are filled with messages, not with the predictions, but with the historical accounts. A lot of rebukes, a lot of exhortations from the Lord. So if you read the book of Isaiah, for example, you will find plenty of historical accounts in the book. Even though that book is called as a prophetic book and Isaiah himself was a prophet, that doesn't mean that the book was just filled with future predictions. But in fact, there are a lot of historical accounts. Just repeated explanations. Therefore, we must not equate the word prophecy either with future predictions only or with no future predictions only. Only thing that I want to caution you is that in today's kind of spiritual climate, a lot of people are claiming to have the gift of prophecy, and when they are talking about prophecy, they tend to talk about the predictions alone, and because of that, a lot of people are fascinated with the claims of having the gift of prophecy. And because of the element of future predictions in the Bible, there have been teachings and teachers of the prophecies. And one simple truth about prophetic teachings and teachers is that not all of their claims are truthful. That is the issue that we have to raise today. There are always dangers of mixing the word of God with false prophetic teachings. In the same way, from the Old Testament, in fact, we can find a lot of examples or accounts that when the true prophet was preaching, there were many, many, multiple times of numbers of false prophets prophesying together and against, in fact, the true prophet of God. So even in the Old Testament times, we can find a very active work deliveries of false messages by the false prophets. Therefore, we ought to be able to discern the teachings of the biblical prophecies. Let me begin with the first point concerning the necessity of discernment. We need to make a discernment. When we study the scriptures, it is important for us to know and understand that there are counterparts and counterfeits against the things ordained by God for our benefits. As there is darkness against the light, so there are many counterparts and counterfeits against the true things of God. And examples are, I think, very many in the Bible, and in fact, they are plenteous. There are untruths against the truth, false Christ against the Christ Jesus, false gods against the true God, and evil spirits against the angels of light, and false prophets against the true prophets. So there are a lot of counterparts working very actively in the scriptures, in the spiritual realm. It is important for us to know that not all prophets are true prophets, even though they are claiming to be the true prophets of God. It is a warning to all the believers of God not to cast their blind trust to the people claiming to be sent by God without examining them first. It is also important for us to know that these false prophets are coming. Here is a danger. They are coming not in the name of Satan, not in the name of the power of darkness, but in the name of God. That's why they are so terrible and so dangerous. That is why they are called false prophets. That is why the believers of God are deceived and confounded by them, because they are coming in the name of God, and some people are just blindly believing and trusting in them. It is important for us to recognize that their workplaces, the primary workplaces of the false prophets, are in the midst of the congregations of God's people. That's why it's dangerous. They are the most effective places where the false prophets can maximize their productivity. In fact, you know, we can find an example very easily. For example, you think about the Jehovah's false witnesses. I learned it, last week. Jehovah's false witnesses. Their target group is not unbelievers. Their target group is usually the believers. If somebody knows you as a Christian, you go to a church, usually they are more interested in you. So, beware of the dangers of those false prophets. If they come to the atheists or people who are already deceived, their productivity is very low. So, they want to maximize their opportunities by deceiving people, as many as possible, and they want to raise their productivity. It reminds us of the primary purpose or goal of their work. It is to confuse, confound, and eventually destroy the congregations of God's people. The presence of the false prophets within the congregations of God means that the people of God must examine the claims of self-claiming prophets, and they need to discern the spirits of those people who are claiming to be the true prophets of God. The Bible warns of the false prophets. Let me take warnings from the New Testament first, in order to make this lesson more relevant to you and to me personally today. The Lord Jesus warns His disciples to beware of the false prophets in Matthew 7, verse 15. Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." We cannot know of their true identity by just looking at their outward appearances only. Though they look harmless and innocent, just like sheep, but they are very destructive and they are very dangerous inside. The Lord Jesus warns His disciples that there will be many false prophets in Matthew chapter 24, verse 11. So as far as number is concerned, there will be multiple number of people, very many people. So Matthew 24, verse 11 says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." I pay attention to the word "many" here. There will be many false prophets, and they will deceive many people. I do not know exactly how many will be many, however, there will be many people. Their primary work is to deceive the people. The Lord Jesus warns His disciples that the false prophets will be the champions of spectacular claims, according to Matthew 24, verse 24. So 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Mark chapter 13, verse 22 says, "False prophets and false prophets, false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So it seems that they are marked by spectacular abilities to perform signs and wonders. And thus, by showing those signs and wonders, they want to build up their credibilities. Can't you see what I'm doing, what I can do? By looking at all these spectacular events, signs and wonders, you must believe in me. Wow. People see them and their work and say that they cannot but believe in them. Well, in this case, such signs and wonders are demonstrated in order to seduce the people, according to Mark 13:22. Therefore, those charismatic preachers and leaders who are saying that they are able to demonstrate signs and wonders. Well, demonstration of signs and wonders is not, I hope that we can understand this, is not a sign of those individuals to be true prophets of God. The word for seduce means to lead someone to astray. While the false prophets claim to have been sent by God, their work actually is to lead God's people to astray. While false prophets claim to have been sent by God, their work is to lead people into a wrong way. We also need to see that their target group is the elect of God. That's what Mark 13:22 says, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. So the believers' community are the target groups. The churches are the target groups. Churchgoers, or so-called, you know, professed Christians, they are the target groups of these false prophets. I think that people today do not really pay attention to this warning. It is because people believe and follow people simply because they have claimed to have spectacular abilities to perform signs and wonders. And because they are the workers of signs and wonders, they cannot be false. Usually that is the way that people are persuaded. But in fact, the scripture says the other way around. The Lord Jesus warns that the false prophets are lovable people in Luke chapter 6, verse 26. 6:26 says, "Woe unto you, when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." So it seems that those false prophets were so lovable people, and they are able to communicate themselves with the people so well. We ought not to judge the people by their appearances only. Soothing and comforting words are not to edify, but to deceive. If false prophets are not able to speak well, then who is going to be deceived? You know, sometimes I'm just wondering, here's a false prophet, but he does not know how to talk. And who's going to be deceived by him? So it is very obvious that false prophets will be people who are able to really make good speeches, and they can even convince the people, persuade the people so well. Peter testifies that there were false prophets even in his days in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Peter claimed that the false prophets were already present in his days, and they were already within the believers' fellowship and believers' communities. And how much more should we expect their presence in our midst today? So it is for sure. It is not just a possibility. It is not just a guessing game. It is for sure that we have false teachers and false prophets within Christian churches. It's a fact of the matter. Don't be deceived by wrong people. John warns his readers that the spirits of the false prophets are not of God, even though they are coming in the name of God. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, so he said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Revelation 16, verse 13 says, And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So what they have, false prophets have, is not the Spirit of God. John testifies the end of the false prophets in Revelation 19 verse 20, which says, And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, that which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. False prophet here is being said to be thrown into the lake of fire, but at the same time it says in the first part of verse 20, false prophet that wrought miracles before him. So false prophets are able to show miracles. So again, miracles, signs and wonders are not the litmus test when we want to discern those preachers and individuals, whether they are of God or not. Revelation chapter 20 verse 10 says, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That is the end of the false prophet. False prophets are friends and co-workers of the devil, and their end will be together with them. God expects his people to discern the prophets, whether they are true or false. False prophets cannot and do not frustrate the work of God, even though they are trying to deceive the people of God. It is because they also serve their purposes in evilness. Though false prophets are the servants of Satan, never think that they can frustrate. They can frustrate the providence of God. They will not be able to do it. In fact, it is because they are also serving their purposes in their evilness. Proverbs 16 verse 4 says, The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked, for the day of evil. They are doing what they think right, and what they are doing is very evil and wicked things, but even through their wicked work, God's will be established. And God's will be done. By discerning the false prophets, we shall see our own hearts. This is, I think, a very important lesson we must learn. Let's turn our scriptures to Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13, verses 1 to 3. Let's read it together, shall we? If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, giveth thee a sign, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet, Amen. Here, verse 1 says, There arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of a dream, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. So he is a charismatic gift holder, and he is able to do a lot of things, the signs and wonders. Then verse 3, Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Wow. Which means the reason, the presence of those false prophets who are able to perform great signs and wonders and miracles, the presence is given to God's people for God to prove the hearts of the believers, whether they truly love God or not. It is a test. Wow. The strength of the false prophets comes from their evil heart, evil motives behind their messages. They provide the messages that their praise want to hear. So, that's why they are evil. Rather than they preach what God wants them to preach, instead, they preach what people want to hear. You know, there are people who are being misled by the false prophets. Sometimes I feel very sorry for them. But at the same time, on the other hand, we cannot but say that they get what they deserve. They get what they want. That's what they want. So that's why they are following. Sometimes, people are coming to our church and listening to God's word. And after the service, we talk and we fellowship and so on. And some people know that what their churches are practicing is not right. But still, they refuse to leave. Sometimes I'm wondering why such a conviction was formed in their hearts. Well, here is the case. God wants to test our hearts. We need to prove ourselves whether we truly love God or not. False prophets are given to the believers' community to prove their hearts, whether their love is with God or not. Unfortunately, many people fail the test of God, and they are proven not to love God. A danger is that the deceived ones by the false prophets think that their faith is healthy and their love for God is very solid. However, both are wrong, obviously. Discerning the false prophets is a fruit of our true faith and spirituality. We must test the Spirit. In fact, as we saw from 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, we are commanded to examine the spirits and not to believe in every spirit. The Spirit of God is not with the false prophets. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Though it is somewhat difficult for us to understand in our human mind, God allows the spirits of the false prophets to make His providence come to be true. 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 21 says this, "And he said," it's a false prophet, "I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, and thou shalt also prevail. Go out and do even so." Well, here, King Ahab was an evil man, and he wanted to go out to the battlefield, and the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, did not want to go out to the battlefield without asking a prophet of God first. And there were about 400 false prophets were collected, and they gave a prophecy to Ahab that if he's going to go out to the battlefield, he's going to win the battle and blah, 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 and so on. However, two prophets said, no, that is not the case. You may go to the battlefield and you will be finished. And all your people, the children of Israel, will be scattered like the sheep without a shepherd. And while the true prophet of God is explaining the whole situation, he gives this particular story about the story behind those false prophets. And in the heavenly realm, a false prophet, a false spirit is coming, and he says, "I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him," and so on. Such teaching compels us that we ought to have a spiritual discernment by which we can make a distinction between the true and false prophets. It also tells us that the deceived ones are also responsible for their miseries. They chose them, even though there are all the criteria, all the measurements given in the scriptures. But the false prophets were delivering all those things, and those deceived ones were willing to take them in. Therefore, false prophets will be, of course, will be properly dealt with and justly dealt with. They will be punished. But those ones who are deceived will be also accountable for the wrongs. In fact, the reason quite often that those deceived ones are following the false prophets is because they want them. They want their messages. So they get what they deserve. God has not left His people in darkness without tools they can use to exercise the spiritual discernment. So God provides all those tools that the believers of God can use. Deuteronomy 18 verses 20 to 22. That's part of our text today. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Here, the discerning criteria are not in whether those prophets are calling upon the name of the Lord or not. No, that's not a criteria. Oh, you know, he makes all those prophecies in the name of the Lord. He believes in Jesus. No, that is not the true criterion to make a discernment to whether this person belongs to God or not. No, that is not the one. False prophets are coming with the name of God, and they are coming in the name of God. Therefore, do not just be deceived. The discerning tool is related to the messages they deliver. What God says must be fulfilled. Because God is faithful and does not lie. He cannot lie. However, false prophets may have different sources for their messages. They may even produce certain messages from their own minds and imaginations. That is extremely possible. The Hebrew word for presumptuously, what is the verse? In verse 22, the last part of the verse says, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Presumptuously, in Hebrew word, may also mean pride or arrogance. The Greek Septuagint, interestingly, translate the word as impiety or ungodliness. It may be showing their heart attitude. They are ungodly people, in fact, inside of them. They are arrogant people. They are characterized by the messages that God has not spoken to them. True prophets are bound by the messages they have received from God because they are to be prophets of God. So prophets are spokespersons, spokespeople. If they do not say the messages, they do not deliver the messages that God has given to them, then obviously they are not the spokespeople of God. Therefore, if someone begins to deliver the messages that has not been spoken by God Himself, then that person is not a true prophet of God. Do you think that is a very simple principle? Don't you think that is a very, very simple principle? The prophet of God is a spokesman of God. Therefore, he's going to deliver the messages that God has spoken to him, to the people of God. Well, God has spoken his words, and his revelation, disclosed messages, are completed perfectly in the scriptures. Therefore, if someone begins to preach messages that you cannot find from the scriptures, you may want to be suspicious of that person or those individuals. There is no reason to fear the false prophets. You know, sometimes false prophets are very fearful. Even they can threaten you. They may say, well, if you do not listen to me, well, things will happen, but I'm not responsible for it. That sort of threats. Many years ago, I had an opportunity to have a telephone conversation with a lady who believed that she had special prophetic gifts, and she made a lot of prophecies and so on. She had a certain followers, and so she built her own Eden town, and a lot of followers gave their money and so on. And one of my Bible college students was involved in that particular sect group. And when I found it out, I told that young lady that what she was doing was not right, and what she was believing was not right. But she was so tearful. She said the lady with this prophetic gift was a genuine lady, and she really had God's gift and so on. And she was so tearful. She wanted to believe in me. At the same time, she wanted to believe in her as well. And so she connected me to that lady, and so we had a telephone conversation. And once after we had kind of, the customary greeting words and so on passed, then when we went into the real business, and she said, Pastor Key, how do you know that God has not spoken this and that to me? And who are you if God has spoken to me? And so on. So the talk was going on and on and on. And so at the end of our conversation, I had to say, I'm sorry to say this, but you are a false prophet. And you are accountable for what you are doing at the moment. And she said, well, you are not God. You cannot judge me. And he said something like this. Terrible things will happen to you. Wow. You know, in a normal condition, ordinary people hear such a threat from a person who can speak to you with such a weighty words. Those individuals will be really frightened. Some terrible things will happen to you, and do not blame me. Some things will happen to you and to your family, and I have clean hands over those matters. And that was the end of our telephone conversation. Usually, false prophets, if you refuse to listen to them, they can actually use threats and frightening words as a result. You cannot but listen. You think they are not right, but at the same time, you are scared. Oh, my. But there is no reason to fear the false prophets. God will take care of them. There is no reason to respect them, because they are the ones only doomed to perish by the Lord. By the way, that thing happened how many years ago? 20 some plus years ago. And I think I'm still okay. Don't you think so? One important lesson is that the false prophets' messages are not what God has spoken. It means that the true prophets speak what God has spoken. It gives us an idea of the needed measuring stick to measure each and every message we must hear and reject. Or reject. What God has spoken, is the scriptures. I can tell you this. Would you like to turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let's read those two verses together, shall we? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen. So all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for everything. And especially verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect. The scripture, inspired God's word, is able to make people of God perfect. Then what else do you need? We may have different applications as we study the scriptures. Maybe different generations may have different issues and different kinds of challenges. Therefore, we can have different applications. But the truth, the contents of the truth, must be always the same. The true prophets will deliver the messages from what God has spoken in the scriptures. Therefore, we must ask one same question constantly when we want to walk in the truth. Is the message we hear lined up with the scriptures? That's the criteria we have to pay attention to. Another indicator we may use to know whether someone is a true or false prophet is that a true prophet will constantly lead us to God Himself. This is an important one. In fact, this particular lesson is related to Deuteronomy chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. You know, we already read that passage of the scriptures, and the false prophets are leading maybe to false gods and so on. And some people may say, well, at least those false prophets in Christian churches, they are not saying that we must believe in Buddha, we must believe in different gods and so on. But therefore, we cannot say that they are false prophets. Here we go. Here is the point. The true prophet will constantly lead you to God alone. I hope that you can understand this point. I want you to be very careful at this point. We have noticed that even the false prophets talk about God and come to us in the name of God. If they are within the church, they do not deny God, but claim that they also believe in God. However, if their messages, if their ministries lead us none other than God Himself, they are not true to God, they are not true to His truth. For example, some professing Christians are idolizing their preachers or pastors. By preaching to you week after week, if I make your hearts to be drawn to me and eventually you become my followers, then I'm a false prophet. Okay? I'm honored by being a pastor. I'm very grateful that I have received your love, affection, and respect, but you will never be my follower. From this pulpit, whoever comes delivering the word of God from the scriptures, you must listen to those people. You do not follow a man. Oh, but you preach God, yes, but in the meanwhile, I made you follow me. That is a dangerous act. That is a very dangerous practice. So people put absolute trust in their leaders. Initially, it may be okay, but in the long run, their faith is being deviated and perverted. Or some people are very serious of the things of God. However, what they are serious about is the things God is able to offer them, but not God Himself. Therefore, constantly these individuals will lead you to the things that God may offer. God will make you healthy. You can be rich. Well, the problem is that when they do not become rich, they are angry with God. When they are not healthy, they are upset with God. All those messages have not led people to God Himself, but the gifts that God may offer them. That's not the true message of God. False prophets are stirring up the hearts of their followers to be serious about God. But behind such challenges, they make their followers to focus on what they can receive from God, including health, wealth, and success. Let me tell you this. The true prophets will lead and guide you to God, Him alone. God, Him alone. Though your fig trees do not blossom, your vines do not bear grapes, your field does not produce any grains, your stalls are empty, still, if you have been constantly taught by the true prophets of God, you will be led to God Himself. God alone. Christian faith is about God alone. That is the meaning of the first question in the Shorter Catechism. What is the chief end of man? The answer is man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. There is no other condition attached. That is the true religion, true Christianity. But unfortunately, today's Christianity has too many attachments. If you are not healthy, something must be terribly wrong with you. Your relationship with God is not right. If you are poor, something is terribly wrong, and God must hate you, and spiritually probably you do not belong to God. There are too many baggage attached, and all of them are wrong. True prophets of God are leading you to God alone, God alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 31 says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That is the true religion, true Christianity, true Christian faith. Romans 11 verse 36 says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." That's Christianity. That's Christian faith. False prophets today may not lead us to handmade idols, may not lead us to make us bow down before those handmade idols. Instead, they will lead us to something else other than God and Him alone, His glory alone. They will make us consider success, wealth, miracles, or signs, but not God. God is only the means for their ends. We must see the subtleness here in such misleading and misguiding messages. Be reminded that the false prophets may expose your true allegiance, whether you are with God and love Him or something else. So some preachers are coming with presupposed messages. God wants you to be successful. That is the theme of the message. Well, after then, being successful is being defined by all kinds of wealth and rich prosperity gospel, which is not a God, true gospel. And as a result, if you are not successful in terms of wealth and riches, then you feel that your faith is not genuinely Christian faith. That's wrong. That's false. We also need to see that the problems of the false prophets may not be purely spiritual. Of course, they have spiritual problems. However, the cause of their spiritual problems may be within themselves too. Jeremiah exposed this problem in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 16, which says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord." So it is very possible that people are able to see even visions out of their own minds. Also, Jeremiah 23 verse 26 says, "How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart." Their own heart. So they are so convinced by their own views and ideas, and so convincingly they are delivering those messages in the name of God. And all those false lies are coming out of their own mind. Jeremiah 14:14 says, "Then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name." Isn't it incredible? The prophets prophesy lies in my name. "I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart." If the Old Testament times, the prophets prophesy lies, do you think bishops, archbishops, priests, pastors, doctor, reverend, doctor, so-and-so, may prophesy lies in the name of the Lord today? Do you think that's possible? Of course it's possible. Their heart is the source of false messages. They trust in their heart too much. But there is no more wicked thing in the world, whole world, than the depraved heart. They may speak very sincerely, but as long as they speak from their own hearts alone, their messages are nothing but false and lies. To the contrary, there is a contrast between the messages from their heart and messages from God's own mouth. The messages that the true prophets of God must preach are the messages from God's own mouth, which is the word of God, which is his revelation. Therefore, again and again, I say that you and I must cling to the written word of God. So 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's God's word. Therefore, do not follow the people who are telling you that they see the visions and they have some messages, receive revelations, especially for you. You know, especially when you are in troubles, when you are in difficulties and trials, you love to hear that sort of messages. Don't be deceived. God has given you the messages from the scripture, through the scriptures. Sadly, we must expect that the false prophets are here and they will continue to come. It is because of the active works of the evil powers. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 15 says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So in other words, the ministers of the evil spirits can disguise themselves as the ministers of light and or righteousness. So inside of them, in fact, they are just a foot of wickedness. But externally, in the way that they talk, approach to you, deal with you, and so on, treat you, they disguise themselves as the ministers of righteousness. It is because of evil hearts of men. So evil power is doing it, and evil hearts of men does the same thing. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 28 says, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. So even though the Lord has never spoken to them, they are coming in the name of the Lord, and they will deliver the messages by saying, thus saith the Lord. Isaiah 8 verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. They may speak against or in contrary to the messages in the Bible. Simply, it is because there is no light in them. Then it is because of ignorance and lust of men. So ignorance and lust of men may produce false prophecies and false messages. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Let us read 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Let's read it. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Amen. So, here, there will be a time to come. And this time is being characterized by dislikeness of the sound doctrines. So people do not want to hear sound doctrines. Oh, they are just too ancient. They are too outdated. They are, you know, too old. And we must have modernized messages. So they refuse to endure, listen to sound doctrine. But the next one is this. After their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itch ears. In other words, they desire to hear messages they like to hear. So, when messages are given, they are kind of pick and choose. Oh, he's too evangelical. He's too conservative. I do not know what it means by being conservative. Isn't it true that we are supposed to believe in the Bible? We are supposed to read the Bible, meditate upon God's word, and preach from the Bible? Simply, if somebody preaches from the scriptures, he's having a name tag. Conservative. then who is the liberal then? Who are the liberals? They are the ones who do not preach the Bible as it is. Then they are liberals. Then in fact, if someone is not preaching from the scriptures as it is, then his messages are not biblical and his religion is not Christianity. Because Christianity, all the messages are based on the scriptures. Christianity, the Christian religion, is based on or built upon the teachings of the Bible. But we call them as liberals as if they are our brethren. But come on, what they believe in is a different religion. They do not believe in the Bible. But how can we say that they have the same religion with us? I believe in the Bible. They do not believe in the Bible. And how can I say, because he simply says that he is a Christian, he's my brother. Don't you think something is not right with that sort of presupposition? And in end times, people will follow the preachers who will deliver the messages they want to hear. So there is nothing to learn, you know? Because, oh, that's what I wanted to hear. So they pick and choose rather than they will be edified, they will be strengthened, they will be rebuked, they will be corrected by listening to the truth of God. Spiritually dull and ignorant people want to have teachers who can please them. Thus, false prophets and false teachers satisfy them by speaking to them what they want to hear from them. It is a principle of demand and supply. So that's why false teachers and false prophets are guilty of delivering false messages, but those ones who are deceived are equally guilty because there is a demand. That's why there is a supply. People get what they want and they get what they deserve. Then we need to listen to the prophet. We go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 19 to 22. We must be able to see that from this passage, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 to 22. We must see that the prophets are God's instruments. It is God who raises his own prophets. It means that prophets are not self-appointed religious zealots. Instead, they are called and appointed by God himself. True messengers of God are called by God. They are not self-appointing religious zealots simply because they are enthusiastic about you know, spiritual things or the things of Christian religion and so on. They are not true prophets of God. There must be a calling and there must be an appointment from God. This aspect is very well emphasized by the name of the Lord in verse 15. Verse 15, Deuteronomy chapter 18 says, Lord thy God will raise up unto thee. This God is a definite God who has a personal relationship with his own people. That's why this God is the Lord, your God. There is a personal knowledge involved on the part of the worshippers. And this God raises his prophets primarily for the benefits of his own people. Thus, prophets are raised among the brethren. The prophet's primary role is to deliver the messages of God, and people are required to listen to them. It is an interesting way of God's communication with his own people. You know, if God wanted to communicate with his own people today by speaking to them directly, audibly, do you think God is able to do it? Of course God is able to do it. If God desires to give his messages by letting you have a lot of visions, a series of visions, do you think God is able to do it? Of course. Nothing is impossible with God. He is able to do it. But is God going to do it? That is a question. Is that the way that God has chosen to communicate with his own people? No. God has given his messages through his prophets in the Old Testament and through his apostles in the New Testament, and eventually all those messages were put together and we have the Bible. So God has very specific ways to communicate with His own people. He chose in the Old Testament to speak to the people through His prophets. It is more than a way He communicates with them. It puts great responsibility and accountability on the prophets themselves. Because if they fail to deliver the messages that God has given to them to deliver, then obviously they are guilty of neglecting the duties. I cannot imagine that the spokesperson for President Obama is going to deliver totally different messages that President Obama does not want to deliver to his own people. Then the spokesperson has failed his mission utterly, and soon I'm sure that he's going to be dismissed and another person is going to step into that capacity. So God chose to use prophets to deliver his messages, and that is God's way. And that's why prophets of God are responsible and accountable to deliver the messages God has entrusted with them. They must speak the word of God as he has spoken to them. Moses compared the prophet with himself here. Here, verse 15 says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken." This prophet was going to be like Moses. This prophet is like Moses in terms of mediatorship, for example. Verse 16 says, "According to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not." Well, when people saw the grandeur appearance of the presence of God at the time when God gave Moses Moses and the children of Israel the Ten Commandments, they were overwhelmed by the glory manifested before their eyes. So the people were frightened by looking at the glory of God, the presence of God. So they came to Moses and they said, "Please speak to us. You speak to us rather than God will speak to us. We are so frightened." So instead of God speaking to the people directly, they wanted Moses to deliver the messages from God to them. Thus Moses became a mediator between God and his people, and he began to relay God's word, God's messages to them. Likewise, the primary role of the prophets is to communicate with God's people, with God's own messages. Therefore, if I stop delivering the messages from God's word, then you must know that I'm not a servant of God. I'm not a preacher of God's word. And either you must kick me out or you must remove yourselves from this church and you need to find somewhere else where you can hear God's word. The prophet's primary work is to communicate God's word, God's message with God's people. That's their job. I cannot imagine that the prophets of God are delivering someone else's messages while claiming themselves as the prophets of God. In such a case, we call them as false prophets. And this prophet in this passage is also like Moses in terms of God's appointment. Verses 17 and 18 say this, "And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him." Here, the passage says God chooses his own man to be a prophet. God puts his words into his prophet's mouth. Thus, a prophet becomes the mouth of God. So, prophet becomes a mouth of God. This very idea also is closely related to the inspiration of God's word. Though the messages are delivered by the prophets, they are not delivering their own words, but they are speaking as the mouth of God. That's the inspiration. They are not putting the words down with their own ideas or their own feelings. They speak as if they are the mouth of God. The prophet's messages are fixed. They do not have to be innovative. They do not have to be creative even. The messages that the true prophets of God must deliver are God's own words. And in fact, therefore, messages are already fixed. I have only 66 books to deal with. I do not have to look for 67th book. Or I do not have to figure the things what I have to preach. In fact, everything is here. So as long as I'm loyal and faithful to the contents of this book, then I think I'll be safe. The prophets of God are required to speak what God has commanded them to speak. There are divinely established boundaries as far as the contents of their messages are concerned. And Moses spoke about a prophet in this passage. Here, verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. Well, Moses spoke about a prophet, and it is very interesting to see why he said of a prophet. There are two interpretations of it. Though singular word prophet is used here, maybe it is referring to the whole school of prophets, because we know that there were many, many prophets in the Old Testament. And so we know that there was a succession of the prophets in the Old Testament. Therefore, even though singular word the prophet is used, maybe this is representing the whole class of people, the prophets. Or the second interpretation is that there is an importance of the singular word, a prophet. In fact, all of you have a King James Bible. The King James Bible uses a capital letter P for prophet in verse 18. Does your King James Bible have a capital letter? Is it capital letter? Yes. In fact, verse 15 and verse 18, two times we can find the word prophet with a capital letter. And all other translations have just a small letter, letter P. It is an indication that the King James translators had something in their mind about this particular prophet. Otherwise, they would not have used the capital letter P there. John chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. I want you to turn your Bibles to those passages. I'm going to read just the two passages, and that is going to be the end of the message. John 1, 21 to 25. Let's read those verses together, shall we? And they asked him, what then, art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, the sent us. Why sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither the prophet? Amen. Well, here, when people saw John the Baptist, they realized that he was a unique person. He was very much different from other people. We have to understand that, you know, for the previous about 400 plus years and so, there was no prophet in the land of Israel. So this generation had not experienced a prophet yet. And here we go, very uniquely molded, in a way, a person came along and he began to preach and he was baptizing the people and people were really curious about him. But at the same time, I think they really respected him. They had reverence toward him. Probably they recognized, or at least they were thinking that he must be a prophet of God. But they were not sure who this person was. So first the question in verse 21 is this. They asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? Why Elias? Because before the Messiah is going to come, Elias is going to come first. That's the message from Malachi chapter 4. So by asking him, are you Elias? They are basically asking him, well, maybe Messiah is just around the corner. You know, that must be implied in their mind. Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Then next question is, art thou that prophet? What prophet is that prophet? It's a very designated, definite prophet. Who is this person? And probably, by studying the scriptures, probably this prophet is referring to that prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 and 18. And he answered no. Then later on, we find some confusion, theologically confused ideas of the Jewish people in verse 25. They asked him, Pharisees sent some people to ask John, and they asked John, said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be that Christ, be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither the prophet? So in this case, these people understood Christ may be a different person from that prophet in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Well, Jews did not know of Jesus. They did not understand the coming Messiah clearly, and I think they had some confused ideas in their theology about Messiah and so on. Thus, they were mixed up in identifying Jesus or John the Baptist. They thought Christ to be different from the prophet. Then we come to Acts chapter 3, verses 32 and 33. Acts chapter 3. 32 and 33. Let's read them together, shall we? For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Well, in fact, in this context of Peter's message, Peter applies Moses' prophet to Jesus Christ. Let me read verses 20-22. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, when Jesus Christ was preached unto them. Well, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. In fact, that ultimate prophet is none other than Jesus Christ. That's the interpretation given to us by Peter himself. Then what can we learn from this? Well, false prophets prophesy but do not see the fulfillment of their prophecies because they are false prophets and what they say are lies. They do not deliver the messages that God has spoken to his people, but they speak from their own hearts and imaginations, sometimes under the power of evil influences. Then, who is the true prophet? Well, the ultimate prophet we must listen to is Jesus Christ our Lord. All true prophets of God must deliver the testimonies of that prophet, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says that the scriptures are the testimonies of him. Therefore, we also come back to our real foundation, the scriptures. We must abide in the scriptures. We must listen to the word of God. We must believe in God's word. We must not be deviated from the teachings and lessons of God's word. And I hope that we will listen to the true prophet whose testimonies are written in the scriptures. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, it was a long passage. It was a long sermon, in fact. It was not an easy message, but Lord, now we learn. We must remember that our Jesus is that true prophet. We desire to listen to him and we desire to learn from him. Help us, Lord, not to be deviated from the teachings of the Scriptures. We will abide in the teachings of the Scriptures. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.